Alrighty, and we are live. Welcome to episode 62 of the MCS Real Sports Podcast. I am your host, as always, Mascara, and I have a great co-host to my right, Mr. Caleb Conant. Caleb, how are we doing this fine Wednesday, January 12th, 2022?
Blessed, bro. Blessed. It's a blessed day. You feel me? 9 a.m. out here in Cali. Where are you at, bro?
I'm over near Austin, Texas.
What time is it over there?
11:05 Central Time.
Hey, they gotta know, bro. They gotta know. They gotta know this stuff. Because let me tell you guys a story. So, like, for my internship, right, I had to make a call. And I was just trying to call some... I was trying to get the direct location out here in LA, right? So I find the number I'm calling and somebody picks up and we have a conversation and she tells me, you need to call but at Mountain Central Time. And I was like, what the fuck is that? Like, what are you talking about? She was like, you need to call at Mountain Central Time. I was like, I was trying to call LA. You feel me? Like, where are you at? She was like, oh, I'm in Arizona. So I think one thing I want to remind everybody listening of, and this might just be me, but, you know, stay aware of your time zones. It's a big difference. But, yeah, it's a blessed day, bro. I started my day off with a super good workout, so I'm pumped right now. I feel like an incredible Hulk, you know?
Alrighty, definitely like the sound of that. Like the sound of that. And for my Wednesday, so far it's going pretty good. You know, we're 12 days in, well, technically 11 days into 2022. And you know, everything's been going good so far. You know, the spring semester is upon us. You know, classes starting next week for me. And you know, Green Bay's in the playoffs, got a first-round bye, so definitely looking forward to that. Definitely looking forward to watching the wild cards just to see what kind of upsets we have up our sleeves, because there have been some upsets in the past. I mean, remember Tennessee went on a Cinderella run as a sixth seed in 2019, 2020, so we'll see if there's another team capable of making a deep playoff Cinderella run, and we'll see if teams can get over the hump, because that's what the playoffs are all about. Playoffs are all about potential upsets going on and droughts being broken.
Anything can happen, my man. Anything could happen. Quick question. Are you back on campus?
I'll be back on campus January 31st.
That's when I start. So, hey, enjoy it, my man. Enjoy the last week.
All righty. I definitely will. And with that being said, where can the people find all the great things that you do, Caleb?
On Twitter, we got the bar tag right below, Caleb Conant 2, CalebConant 2. On Instagram, 1, CalebConant. Boom. Click the link tree in the bio. You can find other things, too. You can find Jules and Jim's podcast, Jules and Jim's pod. On Instagram, the official Jules and Jim's podcast page, dropping every Thursday right now. We on break. We cooking up the heat for y'all right now, you know. But we'll be back soon with season 6, all fire. Believe that. Matt, where can they find you?
Man, they can find me on the bottom at Matt_Skura. Check out my Instagram at Matt_Skura20. Both of those have a link tree in each bio, which gives you access to this very podcast, MCS Real Sports Podcast, and it's available everywhere. Talk about Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, you name it. It's available everywhere. And also, check out this app, ColorCast, that we do. And for those of you who do not know ColorCast, you could also go live off of just going regular audio stuff, whether you like the sports podcast or just like the broadcast games as a whole. ColorCast is the way to go. My username is at MattSkuraUSN. And if you want to also check out any other Unwrapped Sports Network members who have ColorCast, just simply type in USN and you'll be able to find all the great stuff that we do. And while we're on that subject, Caleb, of ColorCast, your boy here made the cutoff for top 20 for the NFL playoffs.
Who?
Me.
In what?
For ColorCast, if you racked up a certain amount of listening hours, whether that's just doing games or doing podcast info, you get qualified into the top 20 to potentially have a chance to win some money, and I was able to make it in the top 20.
That's hard. I didn't even know that. I knew, the ColorCast, that's what everybody, I'm glad everybody that's being able to watch us is able to learn with me. You feel me? Because I knew if I was to tell the crowd about ColorCast right now, I would have told them that, you know, per view, it's a chance to earn some type of dollar eventually, or, you know, it's a chance to earn, right? But to know that there is something like that, where somebody could make the top 20 and then have a chance to earn money off of just the listening hours, and what they've done is that's not only amazing, but that's inspiring. So, bro, I'm proud of you, bro. Fucking, you're number one in my book. So just keep going hard. Keep doing what you do, bro. You're going to be number one for sure.
Hard work, I hope so, man. I'm gonna go hard on the playoff wild card week, and I'm gonna try to get as many games as possible I can get. If I know I can get a game, boom, I'm there. I'm trying to get as much as possible. So with that being said, with all the great stuff that we talked about, let's get into some of today's topics. Let's first get into the national championship. For those of you who do not know, on Monday, the third-seeded Georgia Bulldogs went up against the top-seeded Alabama Crimson Tide. And for the first time since 1980, the Georgia Bulldogs won the national championship. And I just want to start off by saying, Caleb, what does this mean for the Georgia Bulldogs and Kirby Smart? Now that he's got the monkey off his back, now that he's finally won a championship, how does this evolve Georgia as a whole?
You know, I think, for one, I didn't really know too much of his story before ESPN said, like, he grew up in Georgia, he played at Georgia, and now he just won at Georgia in, I don't know how long it's been. It had to be at least 20-plus years, right, since they won a national championship. So I think just – not only elevates their program, but it solidifies them as like a top, you know, college program for athletes to look at. You know what I'm saying? For the state of Atlanta, Georgia, you know, I don't know how it feels, because I don't even think last time USC won a national championship like this, I was probably like 3 or 4 years old. So I don't know how it feels for the whole city right now, but I'm sure it feels good for them as well. You know, you had Quavo, you had all the rappers at the game. Like, think about that. You're playing a big game. Stetson Bennett playing that big game. He comes up and wins. And next thing you know, Quavo's at the game. Takeoff's at the game. Mind you, Alvin Kamara's there. DeAndre Swift. Like, all the people came out to watch that game. So, like, it's amazing for Georgia. I'm sure not only Kirby's feeling good, but the players are feeling good, and the program is just rolling in with more confidence into 2022 and years to come, for real. That's how I feel. How do you feel about this win for them?
Man, I feel like it's good for the Georgia Bulldogs as well, because what was the one stigma that they didn't have? They didn't have a championship winning pedigree. Now they have the championship winning pedigree, because you always have to think Georgia, they always bring in the top recruits. It always seems like year in, year out, they always have one of the top recruiting classes in the nation. But what was the one thing that other schools like Alabama or LSU had to offer? They say, we want a national championship. Georgia doesn't. If you come here to LSU or Alabama, we could get you those national championships. Well, now Georgia has that national title. Now they can recruit and just say, hey, we're the defending champs. You want to go back to back and help be a part of Georgia program history? Now they could go, they could go there and have a chance to succeed. It's great for Georgia. And it's also great to see like all the former alumni there. Like you mentioned, like DeAndre Swift was there. You even got to think of Rodrigo Blankenship. He was there as well. And just at Atlanta people as well, like Quavo was there. And, you know, and you also got to give credit too for Stetson Bennett, all the doubters that he had to go through. Like nobody doubted Stetson Bennett. Everybody thought it should be JT Daniels who should start. I don't even know why Stetson Bennett is in there. That's what people thought of. And he went out there and in his senior year and proved everybody wrong, and he got it done. So all credit for Stetson Bennett. He probably cemented himself in Georgia lore as one of the greatest Georgia Bulldogs of all time. You know, because I mean, you look at some of the Georgia greats. There's a lot of Georgia greats. You know, a name that comes up in mind, Herschel Walker. He was a great, you know, in Georgia running back there, helped win a national championship in 1980. Now when you think of 2021, you think of Stetson Bennett being the quarterback who helped get it done. So he now gets to etch his name in Georgia history. And I think it's also exciting, you know, for college football as a whole, because, you know, as much as we love seeing, you know, teams win, you know, you want to see other teams besides Bama win. Now, granted, we give credit for Bama's dominance. We just like to see like different teams. Like when it's like Alabama, you're just like, yeah, okay, you know, Bama won. But to see a team like Georgia who had that long of a drought, you know, first time since 1980. And then, you know, even when LSU won their national championship in 2019, first time in 12 years since 2007. You know, when you see teams that have a bit of droughts win it, it just feels good and feels different, because you know that there's parity amongst college football. And when you also look at it, the repeating streak continues. I mean, there hasn't been a back-to-back champion since Nick Saban in Alabama did it in, I think it was 2008, 2009, or 2011, 2012. So you like to see where, you know, there isn't a repeating team. Now, there could be teams that win 2 and 3 years, but when you see somebody that doesn't repeat, it's kind of cool that you could see different teams win.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's definitely cool to see, like, the diversity of teams that have been winning, you know. And then you got to appreciate Georgia's dominance. I mean, not Georgia's dominance, Alabama's dominance. But I think, man, just, like, on Alabama's end, second quarter, I remember this. This was my call. This is what I thought they should did. Second quarter, they were down in the red zone, and it was when Bryce Young had somebody open on an out. He just barely overthrew him. They settled for a field goal, and on TV you could tell he was frustrated. And I think it was like fourth and five on that play.
Mm-hmm.
And they settled for a field goal. My call on that play is they should have put it in his hands for him to go for it. Go for it. Just go for it. And if they would have scored the touchdown, cool. They would have been up by a whole six. I think that changes the whole trajectory of the game after they go for it and, you know, get it, hopefully. And if not, then, hey, we see how it works. But, man, I think for one, he just threw the ball too many times, 57 times. Like, nobody's talking about that. 57 times. And mm-hmm. and they only scored 18 points. Despite the running back ran it 22 times. So that's a good amount too. So they had a good amount of plays. They just kind of seems like they just weren't really hitting on all those plays. But maybe they could have gave the running back the ball maybe 10 more times. And then that makes Bryce 35 for 47 for one touchdown and two interceptions. I think that looks better than 35 for 57 for one touchdown and two interceptions. Mind you, he still had 369 yards, so that's a lot as well.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And when you look at it, you just got to give credit to Georgia's defense. They looked much more prepared this game than they were in the SEC championship game. I remember watching the SEC championship game, and That was in a way Bryce Young's Heisman moment. Like that game right there solidified him winning the Heisman when he just went off. I think he had about 3 or 4 touchdowns. I think he also broke the passing yards record in the SEC championship game. He was dominant. He put on a clinic against that Georgia defense. You know, they dominated them 41 to about 17. It was just an all-around domination. Stetson Bennett struggled too in that game. But when you see somebody a second time, there's always those changes. You always got to adapt and improve, and that's what Georgia did. You know, you saw Georgia. They brought more pressure to Bryce Young. That's why he struggled early. That's why, you know, he would miss some throws you would think he would make, because when you're pressured, it's different. Because when you look at – even when you have just a little hand in your face as a quarterback, it's going to affect the throw a little bit. That's what Georgia did. All kudos to them, you know, even with the ceiling pick six that sealed the deal. And, you know, now the mindset of Georgia is to try to go back-to-back. You know, if you go back-to-back, great. But if not, you know, at least you have this championship. But another thing that popped up in mind when I saw the national championship game was afterwards. In the post-game interview with what Nick Saban did, and I think what Nick Saban did proves to show year in and year out that he's one of the greatest coaches of all time and just a great leader. And I want to show you what Nick Saban did with his captain stars, Will Anderson and Bryce Young. Let me roll the tape on it.
Bryce and Will, thanks for your time. We'll let you head back to your locker room.
I'd like to say something. Can I say something?
Absolutely.
You know, these two guys that are sitting up here, they're not defined by one game. These guys played great for us all year. They're great competitors. They were great leaders on this team. And they contributed tremendously to the success of this team. And we would not be here without them. All right. And both of them take responsibility for the loss. But both of them contributed in a lot of ways in a positive way to giving us a chance to win and a chance to be here to have an opportunity to win. So I just want to thank them for that and let everybody know how proud I am of these two guys.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I just think that right there, that's what, you know, a regular coach should do. Like even after a loss like that, you know, Nick Saban just basically went out there and just said, you know, he was proud of his guys and he's right. You know, Bryce Young, Will Anderson, they were key parts to that Alabama team to help get into the national championship. And, you know, now you look at, and, you know, I think Will Anderson's going to go to the draft this year, but you know, Bryce Young, he's got another year. Hopefully Bryce Young takes this moment and, you know, goes on scorched earth, you know, the next year and tries to bring Alabama that national championship.
Yeah, hopefully, for sure. I mean, I was definitely rooting for him, you know what I'm saying? Him being a hometown kid, you know, coming from California and going to modern day, like, dude, I is a really good talent, you feel me? And I definitely wanted to see him take home the national championship after him winning the Heisman. He's definitely an inspiration for the younger quarterbacks coming up out here and picking the high schools and aspiring to play quarterback in college. Like, he did it, won the Heisman. A lot of kids are looking at him right now. So I definitely was – I wanted Bama to win this game, bro. If you had asked me before, I wanted Bama to win this game simply because of him. So, yeah, if they find themselves in there next year, I definitely want to see him win it, but we'll see who gets there next year. You know, we'll see. I don't think you could put either of these teams in this game. You could write them in this game next year for sure. You know, anything can happen.
Yeah, anything can happen. You could definitely put them in the conversation, but you can never have a solidified winner, because what college football is all about is you could always have those teams with those breakout years. Look at LSU with Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase and Justin Jefferson. Nobody expected that big of a breakout year where they go 15-0 and have one of the greatest college football seasons in college football history. So we'll see what happens next year. With that being said, let's move on to the NFL side of things. And Caleb, there's always a holiday when it comes to the NFL, and just after the season ends, it's called Black Monday. And what Black Monday means, it means any staff gets fired, whether that's a coaching staff, whether that's the GM, or anything like that. They call it Black Monday. and moved on. Some of the coaches that have been fired, for example, you got recent news as of yesterday, the New York Giants, them moving on from Joe Judge after a disappointing 10-23 season. You then got the Dolphins, who shocked a lot of people by firing Brian Flores after going 24-25 in his three seasons. You then got Vikings head coach Mike Zimmer, who finished 72-56-1 in his tenure of 8 years. Then you got the Bears head coach Matt Nagy, who went 20-27. And then you got the Broncos, Vic Fangio, who only lasted 3 years, compiling only a record of 19-30. You then got the Raiders, who fired John Gruden during the season. Then the Jaguars, who also fired Urban Meyer 13 games into the season. Those are just some of the head coaches that have been fired. And with that, and with those firings, it leaves an opening. Which opening to you, Caleb, if you were a head coach, would be the most desirable location?
Opening? Oakland, for me. Oakland. I would look at Oakland. They have a, you know, if you're looking at it from, you know, moving your family there, it's very similar to California. Feel me?
What's crazy about it is I think they're in Las Vegas too, which might persuade him even more, because the Las Vegas Raiders.
Yeah, what do you mean?
You said Oakland. You said Oakland when they're in Las Vegas. You said it with straight confidence too. I was about to say I'm like, hey, I mean, I know Oakland, you got Beast Mode, but they're in Vegas. You got the Strip. You got everything up in Vegas.
You're right. You gotta cut me some leeway. You know, they're making their switch is still fresh. You know, I've always known them as Oakland, but like them being, like I said, Vegas. You look at Vegas; they got the Strip. You got all this crazy ass shit going on. You feel me? They just don't have a lot of stuff for kids, like an amusement park. They need an NBA team. You know, they definitely need an NBA team. But other than that, you know, the sports market is growing out there. So as a coach, you're looking at that, obviously. But they have a lot of talent. Like, a lot of people like to shit on Derek Carr, but I like Derek Carr. If I'm choosing a quarterback to roll with, like, I like Derek Carr. He can make every throw on the field. He just needs a line and good receivers. He's never had an A1 Davante Adams type receiver. So nobody, like, you don't even know his possibilities. But I do think Derek Carr is a solid quarterback. And out of those openings, I think he's the best quarterback who could make any throw on the field, which then allows the offense to be dynamic as possible. And their running game is already good, not to mention. They have a solid running game that they depend on every game.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You make a lot of great points there. And to be honest with you, Caleb, I think the Raiders could be a desirable location too. Now, it all depends on what they do with their interim head coach that they have right now, Rick Bisaccia. Now, if they keep Rick Bisaccia, obviously their head coaching vacancy will no longer be open and it'll be taken by Rick Bisaccia. But when you heard the recent firing of Brian Flores, that leaves a wide open door for the Las Vegas Raiders. If I'm the Vegas Raiders, I would go all in on Brian Flores. Do everything you can to get Brian Flores. If you could get Brian Flores, fantastic. And worst case scenario, what? You keep Rick Bisaccia, and what happens? You made the playoffs, not only as a 7th seed, but as a 5th seed. You found a way to get it done. Now you get to see what Rick Bisaccia can do as the head coach. And you know, Mike Mayock now has the power just to draft by himself. You know, normally it was Mayock, but then the final was with John Gruden. Now that John Gruden is out, now Mike Mayock can have the whole draft power. And remember, before Mike Mayock became the GM for Las Vegas Raiders, he would always be with the guys with the mock drafts. You know, you would always see like Mayock with the mock drafts and who to select there. So, you know, he's good with the drafting skills. obviously the Raiders, they've missed on a lot of draft picks, whether that's because of issues that they've had off the field or reaching on players. You know, whether it's reaching on Kellen Farrell at four when you could have had, you know, other players, whether that's reaching recently on an offensive lineman when you could have had a different player. You know, hopefully with Mayock at the helm, they make better draft decisions. And, you know, if they decide to keep Rick Bisaccia, then all's well. And the reason why I go with the Vegas Raiders is just because you know that it's proven, like Caleb mentioned, you know that Derek Carr can be a great QB. And you know that he could find a way to win. Keep in mind, they're 4-0 in overtime. If the Raiders lose one of those games, they're out. But because Derek Carr is cool, calm, and collective, I like to call it the three C's, he was able to get the Raiders into the playoffs. And also, just because you look at the other teams, they're not really desirable. Like Jacksonville, you want to go to Jacksonville and have a young quarterback with Trevor Lawrence and be in the same division as the Tennessee Titans and the Indianapolis Colts? I don't know, because at best you're going to be a third-place team.
But I think, you know, not to cut you off, but would you agree that the Jaguars are a nice destination? Because Urban Meyer, I think he had Trevor Lawrence throw the ball way too much. You feel me?
It all depends.
The offense, and they did not have an offensive line. Every play, offensive line gets pushed back, and he has to run back fucking 10 yards and then make the pass on the run. So I think he's another guy who can make every throw on the field.
But you see, that's the only desirable location just because you have the opportunity of Trevor Lawrence. And then you also look at with Denver, that AFC West division is loaded. You got the Chiefs who run the AFC West. You then got the Vegas Raiders who just made the playoffs. Justin Herbert and the Chargers are coming. Now, granted, Brandon Staley is a liability, which we will definitely discuss this episode. And then you got Denver. They're right there. And Denver is just one of those they always say, Denver is a QB away. And, you know, it's just, you know, we'll see what happens with Denver. And then the same thing with the Bears and the Vikings. As long as A-Rod is in Green Bay, they're going to run the NFC North. And yes, for the Bears, you have a younger QB in Justin Fields. That could be desirable. But what else are you going to do from there? Green Bay is still going to run that division as long as Rodgers is there. As long as he's there, he's still going to run the division. But what makes the Raiders' job so desirable is maybe, if you get the right head coach in there, and if he has some good recruiting power, Vegas could give Kansas City a run for their money, perhaps. Perhaps they could in the AFC West if all things go well. Now, there's other vacancies as well, like the Giants, like the Dolphins, like the Giants and Dolphins, but they aren't really desirable. The reason why I don't think Miami is desirable is because I think their front office is a disaster. How do you decide between – because – and the reason why Flores was fired, as many of us now know, is because of the front office. It's because – Chris Greer and company wanted to keep Tua. Brian Flores did not. Hence, and they boneheadedly decided, oh, you know what? We're not going to rely on our head coach. We're going to rely on our quarterback who's been injured the last year and a half since he's been in the league. We're going to fire you, Flores, even though you've had two winning seasons the last 3 years with the sorry-ass roster. We're gonna fire you. So I think that's not going to be a desirable location. And then you look at for the Giants – they're just a mess. The New York Giants are a flat-out mess. They have one of the worst records since 2017. I think they're 22-59 or 23-59. One of the worst records in the NFL. And you can feel the Giants. Why would you want to be there? You're going to get scrutinized day in and day out. And you look at in the NFC East, you're the worst team in the NFC East. Because you look at the NFC East, you got Dallas. Philadelphia is on the come up, on the rise. And then there's the Washington football team who at least have a respectable coach in Ron Rivera and at least has a respectable defense. Then there's the Giants who got no offense, got no defense. They have nobody. Why would you want to go to the Giants? The only benefit for the Giants is what? They're in one of the biggest cities. You know, they're so-called New York when in reality they're in New Jersey.
Yeah, I mean, but look. But look, you got to look at it like this. You can't forget that the Giants have two first round top 10 picks this offseason. You know, not that it, yeah, it's not many quarterbacks in this draft that are, you know, one or two talent, but there are other positions that they can definitely use these picks and go sign a quarterback.
Yeah, but you look at their draft history has not been good. I mean, you drafted Saquon at number 2, and what's happened? He's been injury riddled. You drafted Andrew Thomas in the top 10 at number 4 when you could have had Tristan Wirfs or better offensive lineman. It's one thing if you draft Daniel Jones in the first round, but to draft him at 6?
That was
reach. Here's the thing. I want to have a problem if you drafted him at 17 or in the second round. But to draft him at 6? Are you kidding me?
That's a
reach.
But you know what it did though? It was a reach, right? But that gives them a chance to trade that top 10 pick this year to somewhere that's to a team that's not that good or something, so they could get another top 10 pick next year's draft, and there's going to be quarterback that is top 1 talent. There's going to be tons of receivers that you could get, you know, so that's not going to be a problem. But they're going to have a chance to get a number 1 pick when Bryce Young or even DJ comes in the draft. That's already better than fucking Daniel Jones, in my opinion. So that's where it helps them, though. You know, they go get a Drake London or somebody right now, maybe a defensive guy.
Chicago Bears, they just had a down year.
Yeah.
You know, that's what you got to hope for. You know, they got lucky that Chicago had a down year. So, I mean, if you want to bake on that, by all means, go ahead. You could go ahead and bake on that. But, you know, what I will say, though, what will be interesting with the Giants is who they get as a GM. There are other GMs that are fired as well. Dave Gettleman retired, but Ryan Pace, the GM for the Bears, and the Vikings GM also got fired as well. So it'll be interesting to see what happens from there. But
I have a question for you real quick before we move on. What do you think is next for the Vikings? Do they get rid of Kirk or do they keep Kirk?
They keep them. They have the team. They have the talent. They have the players. They just need to find. They have to find the right head coach because Zimmer was a disaster. Zimmer should have been fired years ago. He should have been fired after 2018. But because year in and year out he got lucky with these playoff appearances. That's why they kept him. Only reason why they kept him is because he got lucky in his playoff appearances. But you know, we'll see what happens from there. That's just the Black Monday, you know. You get these coaches hiring, firings, all that stuff. And
I really don't like that they call it the Black Monday, but whatever.
Yeah, it's interesting, but you know, we'll see. And you know, we'll also see if the teams get it right. You know, we see teams all the time, year in, year out, they fire the head coach and then they muck it up by hiring the wrong coach.
Yeah.
You know, and it's some teams that they've hit it right. You know, Tennessee hit it right with Mike Vrabel. Packers hit it right with Matt LaFleur. The Cincinnati Bengals so far have hit it right with Zach Taylor. You know, he's starting to turn things around there. And, you know, you just hope that, you know, one of these teams, they get the right head coach. Because the one thing that's always a disaster is if you don't get the right head coach in there, it ruins the entire operation. Example, New York Giants. Joe Judge was a disaster hiring. He was in way over his head. Now, he could be a good coordinator, just not a good head coach. He's not ready to be a head coach yet. And, you know, we'll see if he gets a second chance. You know, we'll see, you know, who brings in what. And, you know, overall, let's just see what happens, you know, with these coaches. We'll see who gets hired and whatnot. You know, we've heard, you know, Jim Caldwell's name thrown in the hat. We've seen others as well, coordinators thrown in as well. And, you know, we'll see these teams get it right. because that's the one thing as those teams fans, if you're a Dolphins fan, a Bears fan, Vikings fan, you want to get the right guy in there, because if you could get the right guy in there, you're going to be right back to where you were previously and hopefully one day be a playoff contender.
For sure. I agree. You got to get the right guys in there, though. Starts with the right GM and all that other good stuff, though.
Mm-hmm. It sure absolutely does. But with that being said, let's move on to the flip side of things. Let's move on to some of our Week 18 games. And, Caleb, we had quite an interesting slate of Week 18 games. All of them were all divisional games. Every single one is divisional games. And we had quite some good games here that occurred Week 18. Some of them that happened, we had Steelers Ravens. That was a great game. Rams Niners was a great game. The Sunday Night Football between the Chargers and the Raiders, those were some good games. Which one to you, Caleb, stood out to you the most?
I got to go with the Rams and the Niners. Yeah, and it, I'm sorry, probably because I was there, because I got to witness the atmosphere throughout the whole game. But it felt like a playoff game, and the game did mean a lot at the end of the day. You know what I'm saying? As a Rams, you know, I wanted the Rams to win so we could get another playoff game. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's okay. It was a good game, but I think that one stood out the most as far as the Rams just blowing the lead they had. They started off strong, punched them in the mouth, and you know, the Niners were resilient and came back. Another good game was the Chargers and Raiders, though. I couldn't believe how the Chargers lost that. Like, I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, 100%. I couldn't believe it either. Remember, Caleb, on our previous episode, I said the Raiders were going to get it done for John Madden and Al Davis. What happens? They got it done for John Madden and Al Davis. But another game that stood out to me, and you're 100% correct, you know, with the Rams and Niners game, I watched that game from start to finish, and that was just both teams had their dominance. The Rams dominated the first half, ran up the 49ers with ease, but then the 49ers dominated the Rams in the second half, where the Niners, they just ran it down the Rams' throats. They just did everything they could. They gave it to Elijah Mitchell, gave it to Deebo Samuel, and man, what I will say, Deebo Samuel is a guy who can do it all. You talk about he's a great receiver, great in the run game for the 49ers. I feel like ever since the 49ers introduced him as a running option, he has just been more of a threat. He's one of the biggest threats in the NFL. You look at it almost kind of reminds me, Caleb, of Cordell Patterson. When Cordell Patterson got integrated in the running game for Atlanta, it helped improve their entire offense. That's what the 49ers did with Deebo Samuel, and that's helped improve the offense. And it's also great when Deebo Samuel can throw the ball too.
Because you saw
when they were down 10-17, they ran a perfect trick play with Deebo. He threw it to Juwan Jennings for the perfect touchdown. And then lastly, you have to give Jimmy Garoppolo his props. He was down by 7 with 2.5 minutes left to go. He needed a 2-minute drive to put the 49ers in the playoffs. And what happens? He perfectly goes down the field, gets a game tying touchdown with 20 seconds left. And then he has the perfect overtime drive that you can have. Because the key in overtime, Caleb, is you got 10 minutes. You can run as much clock as possible on your first drive.
Yeah.
What do the 49ers do? They run a perfectly executed almost seven and a half minutes off the clock. Granted, they didn't get a touchdown to win, but they got the field goal to take the lead. And now Stafford needed 2.5 minutes just to have a field goal, just to tie the game. But what does Stafford do? I believe on the second play of overtime, throws an interception, game over. Yeah. You're in the playoffs, and you help move the Rams from what would have been a 2 seed down to a 4 seed. Now, granted, the Cardinals blew it against the Seahawks. If the Cardinals would have beat the Seahawks, they would have won the division, but that did not occur. So you get that at the helm. But another game I want to point out is the Indianapolis Colts and Jacksonville Jaguars. And man, was I disappointed in the Indianapolis Colts. And I just want to say for the Indianapolis Colts, what more do you have to do? What more has to be done? Because you look at it, and I'm also looking at you. I'm also looking at you, Carson Wentz. What? How many more chances do we have to give you? How many more chances do we have to give? We gave you somewhat of a pass in Philadelphia because of your injuries. And you look at you were terrible in your final when you were healthy after your injury. You were terrible. You were terrible when you first came back from the injury. Nick Foles bailed you out.
You didn't. Is this game really Carson Wentz's fault though?
It's Caleb. It's the entire team's fault. it's not just one person. It's the entire team. And the thing that's crazy about this game is when Jacksonville had their two other wins, at least Miami and Buffalo kept it interesting. You know, Miami, they lost off a game-winning field goal as time expired. The Bills and Jaguars, both teams just simply couldn't score any points. And I'll even show the stats. Look at the stat line by Wentz. 17 of 29, 185 yards, one touchdown, one interception, and a QBR of 4.4. In a game to where your playoff lies on the line. And look at this. The rushing attack for Jonathan Taylor, 15 carries, 77 yards. That's unacceptable that Jonathan Taylor gets 15 carries. Jonathan Taylor is your MVP candidate. You should give Jonathan Taylor 29 carries and only have Carson Wentz throw 15 times. It was unacceptable. It was a terrible game plan by the head coach of Frank Reich. It was It was a terrible defensive play by the Indianapolis Colts. Terrible defense, terrible offense, and just all around terrible.
Yes.
And why did you bring in Carson Wentz if you're the Indianapolis Colts? Because you needed to get the big wins. And he failed.
You can't blame this on Carson.
He had two opportunities. He had an opportunity against the Raiders, win and you're in. And he had an opportunity against the Jacksonville Jaguars, win and you're in. And he failed.
No.
He and the whole team failed.
You cannot blame that on him, though. You can't blame this game.
But you can. He went 17 and 29, Caleb, against one of the worst teams in the NFL. How do you go 17 and 29 against the Jacksonville Jaguars and post a 4.4 QBR rating? How is that possible? Now, I understand Indianapolis hasn't won a game in Jacksonville since 2014, but you can't put up a 4.4 QBR and simply say, oh, it's not the quarterback's fault. It's one of the reasons why they lost.
Yeah, it's definitely one of the reasons why they lost, right? But I'm saying, let's look at it here. Like you said, it's everybody type of thing. That's why I said, can you really blame it on him? I don't think so. It's an everybody type of problem. Yeah, he is. They're all one of the factors, though. Besides the receiving core, they did solid this game. I think they need a number one receiver. But then again, you pointed out, Jonathan Taylor should have got the ball 29 times. And Wentz should have thrown it a little less.
Just look at this, Caleb. 15 carries, 77 yards, an average of five yards a carry.
Easy. That's a first down. Damn near every two plays. You know what I'm saying? So, yes, I understand where you're coming from. But that goes down to the coaching staff because they didn't call. They didn't come out with the right game plan. They didn't call the right plays. Again, Wentz is the coach on the field. And, you know, that's why they pay him so much money, right, to call the audibles and whatnot. But I think it goes on the game plan. A lot of it was the game plan because if they take a lot of time off the clock and they run the ball to a running back that's averaging 5.1 carries, maybe Jacksonville doesn't score that much. Maybe Jacksonville still might win just because they had a good day, no turnovers. Usually you see Trevor Lawrence throw for 300 yards, two touchdowns, and three turnovers. You know what I'm saying? No turnovers at all, you know? So that could be a reason. But then again, they could have just had a good day. But I think if their game plan changes, the game changes, and that still might result in a loss. But then again, I think this game was the game plan against the Raiders. Hey, I can't say I watched that game enough to know whose fault it was, but that I could definitely say that Raiders game was a harder game than this one, as far as competition wise, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. There was a lot more on the line, but the reason why I went in on the Colts is you had not only 1 week, but you had 2 weeks of opportunities of win and you're in, and you failed bad. It's just the way how you lost to the Jaguars. You got dominated from start to finish. Like you didn't even have any fight. You played that game like you already had the playoffs clinched, but you didn't.
Yeah.
It was just an embarrassing performance by the Colts. And you've heard all over. You heard it from Get Up and First Take. You've heard guys like Dan Orlovsky. They've said that it's one of the most embarrassing losses in a long time for the Colts. Now, I wouldn't say it's one of the worst losses in their franchise's history, but it's up there for one of the worst losses that you can take. You know, just overall as a whole. One last rant that I will go on is not on the Los Angeles Chargers. It's on the head coach, Brandon Staley. I want to know, Brandon Staley, why are you going for it on 4th-and-1 at your own 18-yard line? I need to know why you are going for it on your own 18. Did you not learn your lesson when you went for it inside your own territory against the Baltimore Ravens? Did you not learn your lesson there when you failed on that and you ended up losing the game? I need to know what went into that mind thought, because that was a disaster. It was a terrible decision, and it was the same terrible decision here. You go for it, 4th down on your own territory. Keep in mind, Caleb, they're only down 3. Only down 3, 17-14. This ain't Madden. This is real life football. This is real life football, and you lay an egg like that. And of course, the Raiders. Now, granted, the Raiders didn't cash in for a touchdown; they got a field goal. But you keep in mind, if you punt it away and your defense makes a stop, then you're right back in the game, and you're only down by 3. Instead, you're down 6, and full momentum is on the side of the Las Vegas Raiders. Now, you got to give Herbert a lot of credit. Justin Herbert did everything that game, man. He proved why he's one of the better quarterbacks in the NFL that game. You know, look at his stat line. I'll pull up his stat line. Justin Herbert, look at this. 34 of 64, 383 yards, 3 touchdowns and a pick. He did everything you want. It's not on him. You cannot blame Herbert for losing this game. He did everything you can. And even guys
34 like Mike, of 64? Fuck.
Yep.
That's way too many.
Yeah, he threw 64 attempts, and then Austin Eckler did his thing. Mike Williams did his thing. But you have to blame it on Brandon Staley. And also for Brandon Staley. You were a defensive coordinator. You were a defensive coordinator for the Los Angeles Rams. And you let up 35 points to the Raiders, and then you call a timeout with 38 seconds left in overtime on a 3rd-and-4 to get the right defensive alignment. And what happens, Caleb? Josh Jacobs runs for 10 yards, gets a first down, gets them instead of a 50-plus yard field goal into about 47-yard field goal, and the Raiders win the game, and you miss the playoffs.
Yeah, it was definitely a bad defensive performance, though. I mean, Darren Waller didn't even ball out. Hunter Renfrow didn't even ball out. They just couldn't stop the running game. You let Jacobs run it for 26 times, 132 yards. And then that obviously that's 26 throws that Derek Carr didn't have to make. And that's why Derek Carr went for 20-36, which is a lot lower than 34 and 64, You know, mm-hmm. that's a lot. That's a lot of throws.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. It definitely is. And it's just disappointing because you look at the Chargers, they had everything in that game. They had the better roster on paper. They have the better everything. They have the better quarterback. They have the better running game. But what's the one thing that the Raiders have that the Chargers do not have? Raiders have heart, and they have clutch decision making. The Chargers do not. And what did I say last episode, Caleb? I said something is going to happen. Either the Raiders midseason late collapse is going to happen, or it's going to be the same old Chargers. And what happened? It was the same old Chargers. And I will say for those of you who are listening to this episode, I will keep that same energy for the Chargers next year. I'm gonna put the Chargers outside of the playoffs again next year, because it's the same old Chargers. Just when you think they have it right, when they have the right quarterback and they have the head coach, they're gonna find a way to falter. There's something cursed about this franchise, Caleb. Whether it's the Spanos family running it or some sort of deed that they did, wasting they're what I call a career waster. They've wasted Dan Fouts' career. They wasted Winslow's career. They wasted Phillip Rivers. They wasted LT. They wasted Antonio Gates. Justin Herbert, you're next. you're next, buddy. You're next in line. I mean, because you look at it, and I also want to say for Brandon Staley for making those boneheaded decisions. What kind of pedigree do you have? You're a first year head coach. What the hell are you doing making those decisions? It's one thing, Caleb, if Bill Belichick or Andy Reid makes those decisions. They have the pedigree. They can afford to be like, yo, man, what are you doing? Like, I understand you got the pedigree, you got the winning pedigree, but you gotta be smarter than that. With Brandon Staley, it's one of those like, what are you doing? Like, there's a point to where you rely on analytics too much. Analytics were to say, yeah, go for it on 4th-and-1. You can convert like 60% of the time. Well, does analytics include that it's a road game in Las Vegas and you're on your own 20-yard line? Does it also consider the fact that your defense is one of the worst defenses in the NFL? Does it include that? I don't think it does. And that will forever be the question that Brandon Staley has to go through the offseason. Now, I've had that experience too. Matt LaFleur had that same question when he went for a field goal against Tampa in the NFC Championship game on 4th-and-goal instead of going to Aaron Rodgers. He had that question in the offseason. That was a bug around him. Now yeah. He's kind of changed his tune. Now he's more reliant on Aaron Rodgers and simply telling Rodgers, what do you want to do? You know, because what happened? He learned from his mistake.
Yeah.
Hopefully Brandon Staley learns from this massive mistake and does not make that same mistake again.
Yeah, they're going to have to.
Yeah, because one thing is for certain. If you do not learn from this mistake, if Brandon Staley has the same thing happen to him, if Brian Flores gets fired for having two winning seasons, Brandon Staley better get fired if he makes the same mistake next year. You better keep that same energy. You better keep that same energy. If Brian Flores could win 10 games one year, 9 games the next, and get fired, Brandon Staley better get fired if he makes the same boneheaded decision next year as he did just this Sunday. Because to be honest, the Chargers, they got everything. They just got to find a way to get out of their own way. And with that being said, Caleb, what we've all have been waiting for, let's show the current playoff picture in the NFL and where it slates today. It looks a lot like this. In the AFC, you got the Tennessee Titans as your first seed. You got the Kansas City Chiefs at 2. The Buffalo Bills are at 3. The Bills are at 3. Cincinnati is at 4. The Raiders are 5. I don't know why this hasn't been updated yet. Let me go to this here road to Super Bowl 56. Let me just update that. Here we go. So you got this. You got Tennessee at 1, Kansas City 2, The Bills are 3. Bengals are 4. Raiders 5. Patriots 6. Steelers at 7 in the AFC. And in the NFC, you got Packers 1. Buccaneers 2. You got the Dallas Cowboys at 3. You got the Los Angeles Rams at 4. Arizona Cardinals 5. San Francisco 49ers 6. And the Philadelphia Eagles at the 7th seed. Let's go with our playoff bracket, Caleb. Let's start off on the AFC side of things. In the wild card round, you have Chiefs Steelers, you have Bills Patriots, you have Raiders Bengals. Who advances to the divisional round?
With that Raiders Bengals game, that game is a tough one. You know, I hope the Bengals could come out on top. I think they're a better team. But then again, they're young, you know what I'm saying? And in that atmosphere, I think is going to change. It's going to be a lot different than any regular season game. So I got the Bengals, but I would not be surprised if the Raiders come on top. When it comes to the Patriots and the Bills, I think the Patriots and Bill are a good team. They've proven that they can beat them off throwing the ball four times when he did it.
Last time it was in Buffalo, there was a blizzard, and they only threw the ball 3 times.
Yeah, 3 times. So, you feel me? I don't think it's going to be like that this game, and I think both teams are going to have to gun it out. I got the Bills going in that one. Let me just start with those 2 games, bro. Out of those 2 games, who do you have winning?
Man, out of those 2 games between the Raiders and the Bengals, I really want to go with Derek Carr and the Las Vegas Raiders just because the same old Bengals have always found a way to choke in the playoffs. But I come to look at it, this Raiders team is the Bengals team is different than in years past. In years past, you could understand why they lose their playoff games. Whether it's Carson Palmer in the early 2000s getting hurt, whether it's just year in, year out, just having bad luck. Even the last time they made the playoffs, who was their starting quarterback, Caleb? It was not Andy Dalton. It was A.J. McCarron. So it was understandable that you lost to Pittsburgh, who had Ben Roethlisberger. This year, they have it all in front of them. Joe Burrow, man, is a different breed. Him and Ja'Marr Chase, they have been clicking all season long. We did our predictions last episode. You know where I stand on Ja'Marr Chase. I think he's the offensive rookie of the year. I also think Joe Burrow has a chance to win comeback player of the year as well. You know, just with all of that. And I truly believe the Bengals will get their first playoff win. I like the energy that they have. I think it's different than the Bengals teams in years past, and I think they exercise their demons there. With the Patriots and the Bills, that game is tough because you look at it, it's Bill Belichick, and it's the third time he's going up against the Buffalo Bills. It's just like it almost reminds me of when Nick Saban was an underdog in the SEC championship game versus the Bulldogs. It's very hard to go up against that. But you have to keep in mind Mac Jones, he's been enduring a rookie slump. You know, the last 4 games, he's thrown 5 interceptions. He's starting to show, the rookie quarterback mantra that happens. You know, you start to struggle. And then you also got to keep in mind Buffalo, they got the 3rd seed, and it's just they have Josh Allen, their offense is clicking. It's gonna be very hard, man, but I really want to pick Bill Belichick and the Patriots so bad just because Bill Belichick, his 3rd time around with the Buffalo Bills, I think he could find a way to do it. But I'm just not sold on the Patriots. I think the Patriots are running out of gas. They've lost. They were the 1 seed earlier. They've lost, I think, 3 of their last 4. I think the Buffalo Bills are going to get it done against – I think the Buffalo Bills are going to get it done against New England Patriots. It's very hard. It's very hard for me to say that, but I think it's a matter of where you're at right now. The Buffalo Bills are clicking right now. The New England Patriots are not. I think that will continue in the playoffs. I'm going with the Buffalo Bills.
Hear you, man. I think the Buffalo Bills are another team that that they just have that firepower. They just, I don't know, it's hard for them to put it together during the regular season, it seems like. But moving on to the Eagles and Buccaneers,
Before we do that, what about Chiefs and Steelers? Do we agree that the Chiefs are going to beat the Steelers again, or do you think Big Ben puts up a fight in potentially his final postseason game?
I believe Chiefs win. I believe Big Ben puts some numbers up just to go out like a dog. Even if they get beat by 35, it'll be like 50-28, something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I think though as well. And then in the AFC divisional round, what Caleb and I have predicted to be, we'll see what happens. This weekend, we think it's gonna be Titans, Bengals, and Chiefs, Bills in the divisional round. And with, like Caleb mentioned, let's flip to the NFC side of things. We got the Eagles versus the Buccaneers. Caleb, I'll leave the floor to you for this one. Eagles, Buccaneers, do you think the Eagles pull off the mightiest of upsets and dethrone the defending champs? Tom Brady and company begin their quest for back-to-back Super Bowls?
I think we got a chance. I do think we have a chance. We have to, run the ball a lot. If our run game is effective, we take advantage of who's on the field and who's not on the field. AKA Vita Vea, when he's not on the field, he needs to run the ball. And if Hurts could just have a good night and not turn over the ball, I definitely think it's possible. But it's hard to bet against Brady. You know what I'm saying? It's really hard to bet against Brady. But when it comes to this game, bro, I've got the Eagles. I'm rooting for the Eagles. I think we have a chance. In all seriousness, the Bucs might just probably have like a 85% chance of bringing it home. But that 15, I want to be a part of that 15. So for this point, for this game, I've got the Eagles. Hopefully you join me, guy.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I'd love to see a big upset to happen in the playoffs.
Why not this one?
But I just don't know, man. It's Brady. It's the playoffs. Tom Brady in the playoffs is a different animal. He's probably the most successful playoff quarterback of all time. He has the most wins as a quarterback in the playoffs of all time. I think he's going to continue that against Philadelphia. I think, now don't get me wrong, Philadelphia has been great. I mean, what a great run by Nick Sirianni, starting off slow. And with the progression of Jalen Hurts has been phenomenal. But I just think there comes a point to where a team runs out of gas, and I think Philadelphia is going to run out of gas against the Bucs. I think the Buccaneers are going to have too much. There's also recent news that Levante David and Leonard Fournette have been activated off of the IR. So it's going to be very tough. The Eagles are going to have the biggest test. This is probably going to be their biggest test of an opponent that they've had to go up against. Now, keep in mind, they did go up against the Buccaneers earlier in the season, and they did only lose by 6. But they had a garbage time touchdown at the end. It was a blowout. So let's see what happens. And it's not at the Link. It's at Raymond James Stadium. It's in the playoffs. I'm going with the Buccaneers. I just think the Buccaneers, they have too much. I think Brady in the playoffs is a different animal. And, yeah, I'm just going with the Buccaneers.
Yeah, I hear you, And don't forget, the Buccaneers are sure-handed with, not having an AB with the receiving core. But yeah, man, I can't fight that one too much. I just think, like I said, I want to be a part of that 15%. I got the Eagles.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And then let's move on to the next game in the NFC. We have the 6th-seeded San Francisco 49ers versus the 3rd-seeded Dallas Cowboys. And bring us back to the 1990s, because remember in the 90s, Caleb, when you would get the 49ers dueling the Cowboys, you would get Steve Young versus Troy Aikman, you'd get Michael Irvin versus primetime Deion Sanders. Now, that was the 90s. Present day, you get Jimmy Garoppolo versus Dak Prescott. You get Kyle Shanahan versus Mike McCarthy. 12-5 versus 10-7. This is going to be a very interesting game. I'll start off first by saying I think this is where we get our upset. I'm going with the San Francisco 49ers over the Dallas Cowboys. I do not believe the Cowboys one bit. like Stephen A. Smith always says, what can go wrong will go wrong. This Dallas Cowboys offense has struggled. And don't give me the BS of, oh, they scored 51 points against the Philadelphia Eagles. Well, the Eagles were playing their second and third stringers. Of course you're going to score 51 points against the second and third stringers of the Philadelphia Eagles. Come on now. That's like stealing candy from a baby. Of course you're stealing candy from a baby because the baby can't defend himself. And what's the thing, Caleb, about the playoffs? It's about getting hot at the right time. And the San Francisco 49ers, they're red hot. Ever since they had a 2-4 start to the season, they have won 8 of the last 11 games. They've had big statement wins too. 49ers, they had a big statement win against the Bengals to keep them in the playoff race. And then they had not only a big win against the Los Angeles Rams last week, they came back from down 17-0.
Yeah.
And they found a way to have a go-ahead. They found a way to have a game-tying drive. And then you have a game-winning drive in overtime. And your defense came up clutch when you needed them the most. And that's personally what I like about the 49ers team. I just don't think the 49ers – I don't think the Dallas Cowboys have it. And you also got to think – you know, you lose Michael Gallup, your third wide receiver, and you also got to think, man, this 49ers front, it's legit. They stonewalled that Rams running game, shut it down. They had to rely on Matthew Stafford's arm, the Rams did. And it was very good in the first half, but eventually you get worn down and, you know, you started to deteriorate in the second half, and that's why I went with Stafford with those two costly interceptions. I think the 49ers game plan is going to be to pressure Dak Prescott. I think they're going to have their way with them. And I also think the 49ers, they're just red hot. And I think the 49ers get it done against the Dallas Cowboys. I want to hear what you have, Caleb. Who do you got between the 49ers and the Dallas Cowboys?
Hey, man, I'm actually rolling with you, bro. Like, before you said, I thought you were going to say the Cowboys, you know, you being down there in the Texas, in the Star State, you know, I thought you were going to, you know, say, go with the Dallas Cowboys, but nah, man, I think the Niners get this win. I think they're motivated and determined to win right now. And I feel like the Cowboys are on a slump, bro. Like they're on a slump right now, but you never know. But I'm rolling with the Niners, bro. And I think you hit it on the nail for all the reasons why.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You look at it's going to be a good game. I'll tell you that. It's going to be a great game to watch. But those 49ers, man, they are clicking. And our final game in the NFC, I know my guy Caleb's going to be there.
Yes, sir.
I know Caleb might be there Monday, January 17th. We got the fifth-seeded 11-6 Arizona Cardinals versus the 12-5 NFC West champion Los Angeles Rams, and I'll give it up to Caleb. Who do you got in this game?
Man, whose house?
Rams house.
Yeah. That's what I'm rolling with, man. I got the Rams in this one. I feel like, you know, they're going to change the game plan. They're going to do what it takes to win. I think this game – I mean, I think last game they gave the Niners a bit too much room to play around. You feel me? I think they're going to – once they punch Arizona in the mouth and they're up 14 or 17 points, they're going to start running the ball, taking it slow, running it, taking it slow. You know, trying to eat as much clock up as possible and keep the ball out of Kyler's hands. So this one, I feel like McVay is going to come in with the right game plan, and they're going to end up beating the Cardinals on Monday night. That's who I got. Who are you rolling with, Matt? I'm excited to hear who you think is going to pull this off.
Yeah, and before I get into that, let's get into our comment section. Shout out Logan Forge. He says the 49ers will go to ground and then pound the lame boys non-existent defense with that run game and the blitz all night on Dak Prescott. Absolutely, Logan. I think that's gonna be the key. That's gonna be the key to the 49ers in their defense. Because one thing is for certain, if their defense can get it done, then they're gonna have their way with the Cowboys. They will 100% have their way with the Cowboys. But between the Cardinals and the Rams, and Caleb, this may disappoint you, but I'm going with the Arizona Cardinals.
What?
The Arizona Cardinals, they are a different team on the road. I don't know how, Caleb, but the Arizona Cardinals, they play better on the road than they do at home. They are 8-1 on the road and 3-5 at home. Where are they right now? They're on the road. And I'm not a believer in Matt Stafford. I don't believe in Stafford. He struggled a lot. He's thrown 8 interceptions the last 5 games. He hasn't been good. He has not been good. And I just think, you know, with and it's going to be which defense wins. And you got to think, if you're the Arizona Cardinals, J.J. Watt recently got activated off of IR. You know for sure he's going to play this game. You know for sure J.J. Watt is going to will his way and find a way to play this game. You also got to think DeAndre Hopkins might play this game as well, because it's the playoffs and you got to throw it at everything. I think this is a game to where the Cardinals win. I mean, now don't get me wrong, I'd love to see if the Rams get a win, but I just think on the road, the Arizona Cardinals, they're a different team on the road. I don't know what to say about it. I just think Kyler Murray and company are going to find a way. They found a way to get it done against the Dallas Cowboys on the road in week 17. I think they're going to find a way to get it done against the Los Angeles Rams. And their dream season, I think, for the LA Rams is going to end. We also got Logan in the comment section saying it's going to be a tough fought matchup, which he's absolutely correct. Pretty much a defensive game like Georgia versus Alabama, but this one will be won by a single mistake. He's calling Arizona on this one as well.
And no.
I think Logan is correct. It's gonna be who makes the mistake first. And you gotta think, even, and you also look at between the 49ers and the Rams in week 18. Who was it that made the costly mistake, Caleb? Who was it that made the costly mistake in that game?
Arizona.
Well, no. I'm saying between the Rams and 49ers, week 18, who made the costly mistake?
Are you talking about Kyler?
No. I'm talking about in week 18.
Oh, you're talking about week 18.
Yeah. I'm talking about week 18 last game. Who made?
I'm like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, I was gonna say who made. Yeah, Rams made the costly mistake, and I think the Rams are gonna make a costly mistake again this game. I mean, you look at it, the Rams had the 49ers on the ropes. Jalen Ramsey thought to have had the sealing interception, and they failed miserably.
And that's why I say they. So you and Logan are saying that you think they haven't learned from their mistake.
I'm also just not a believer in Stafford. That too. I've seen Matthew Stafford all the years he was in Detroit and all the mishaps that he's had. I'm just not a believer in Stafford at all.
Okay. I don't know. I think he's solid. Honestly, yeah,
but I will say, Caleb, what scares me is Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey. That's what scares me.
Yeah, because the defense is going to put us in the game. They're going to make sure that they're in the game. That's what I'm saying. Stafford threw for last game. He threw for 3 touchdowns, 2 picks, almost. I'm sure he had upward of 280 or 250, and he threw the ball plus 37 times. If they were up 30 or if they were up 17-0, he shouldn't even have to throw the ball that many times. They have an effective run game. It's just the way they use it. They run the ball to get a big play, to get a play action play. But instead they, let's throw it on second down. No, they need to run, just like the Niners did with the clock. Once they start beating Arizona, because that's how I predict the game's going to be. I think it's going to be a game where it's 10-0, 14-0. And then the winner is going to be the people who play best at that point of the game when they're losing 14-0. Just kind of how the Niners did. They were down 17-0. They played well the rest of the game and they won. I think it's going to be the same thing, but this game the Rams, if they're up like that again, they're going to know not to play around and just run the clock, you know. In my opinion, I say they learn from their mistakes. I learned from their mistakes, but I understand you guys. We'll see. This is the biggest game of the playoff weekend, I think. So I think this is the biggest game right here.
Absolutely. And then you look at Logan says it will be some stupid call, like a false start or a delay of game call, like the little mistake.
You want to break. This guy wants to break your Rams' heart right now. You want to break all these fans' heart. You want to send them home sad.
Yeah, which I mean, it could happen. It could very well happen to where that could be the scenario where
you want to send them home sad. Come on, that could be the scenario. It could happen. It's okay. We shall see.
Absolutely. We'll definitely see what happens here during this game, during wild card weekend. Awesome. It's gonna be fun. These next three games, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. You got a full slate.
Yeah, it is. It's gonna be super fun. Hey, everybody that's been on here rocking with us through the black screen. I finally was able to get back. So thank you for rocking with us, my man.
Well, before
podcast, baby.
I will say before we head out, we're gonna end with one last thing. Our What's biggest up? Surprise team and our biggest disappointing team. We'll first start off with our biggest surprise. And Caleb, I want to throw it out to you. Who's our biggest surprise?
Philly. I didn't think they were going to be this good. Philly. I'm going with Philly, bro. They're my biggest surprise. Yes, they're my favorite team. You know this. I didn't think they were going to be this good. I didn't think they were going to make the playoffs. If you go listen to our episodes before this, I did not think they had the potential to make the playoffs. But they do. They are the biggest surprise to me. I still don't know what the fuck makes them so good, but they continuously get it done. They're my biggest surprise. Who you got? I'm interested in hearing who you have.
Man, I got a lot of options, but Logan even threw in the comment section too. He says, not trying to trash talk, but the Rams let to shoot themselves in the foot. The Cardinals like to as well. Remember Detroit. So both teams, they do like to shoot themselves in the foot. We'll see who does it first. But my biggest surprise team has to be the Cincinnati Bengals. The reason why I'm going with the Cincinnati Bengals is just for the simple fact that I did not see them winning the AFC North. I mean, I was dead wrong on the Cincinnati Bengals. There, it was one of the worst predictions I'd ever made on the Bengals. I only had the Bengals winning two games. I had zero faith in the Bengals. I thought they made a terrible decision drafting Ja'Marr Chase. I thought they should have went Penei Sewell, but boy, do those Bengals prove me wrong. They won 10 games. They found a way to get it done. They won the AFC North. My biggest surprise team has to be the Cincinnati Bengals, just because nobody expected them to win this division. Everybody thought it was going to be either Baltimore or Cleveland that was going to win the division. But seeing Cincinnati win the division, it's a big shock to me. It's also a good step in the right direction for this Cincinnati Bengals team. We also got Logan in the YouTube comment section here saying his biggest surprise is Derek Carr turning around with their beyond the grave Ask Madden button. And I think he's got a case there with Derek Carr, just because of the simple fact of through all the stuff that he's been through, man.
That's the funniest shit I heard out there.
Yeah. I mean, he's been through it all, man. Through John Gruden being hired mid-season, terrible decisions by Henry Ruggs and other players being released. And, you know, even with the passing of John Madden, he's been through everything. And somehow, some way, they're a fifth seed. That's a definite case for a biggest surprise there. Now, on the flip side, you got the biggest disappointment. And boy, there are a lot of options for biggest disappointment. But for me, my biggest disappointment has to be the Indianapolis Colts. The reason why I'm going with the Indianapolis Colts is for this reason and this reason alone. They won 11 games last year with Phillip Rivers on his last leg. Now, granted, Phillip Rivers, head and shoulders, will be forever better than Carson Wentz because Phillip Rivers, his first ballot Hall of Famer, he's done everything as a passer besides win a Super Bowl or an MVP, but he was a great quarterback. How do you go from 11 wins, you get younger with Carson Wentz, and you somehow digress to 9 wins, even though you have 7 Pro Bowlers, you have an MVP candidate at running back, and you win 9 games? How? How is that even possible? How do you, and also, how do you miss the playoffs when in the last 2 weeks, your games were the Raiders and the Jaguars? You mean to tell me you couldn't win one of those 2 games to make the playoffs? Are you kidding me? That is just unacceptable. I give the Indianapolis Colts the biggest disappointment just because of that. Just because of that alone. I don't care that's only a 2-game span, but just because you win 9, you go from 11 wins with Phillip Rivers on his last legs to Carson Wentz, and you digress to 9 wins. So something's got to change in Indy. I don't know what it has to be, but something has got to change. I don't know if it's the curse of booing Andrew Luck. I mean, I don't know. Something's got to change in Indy because what happened this year, their collapse is unacceptable. But it will give good ratings for the in-season Hard Knocks. I will tell you that. I'm going to be looking forward to tuning in to Hard Knocks, which if you do not have, it's on HBO Max. They do Hard Knocks, their first ever in-season edition. Was the Indianapolis Colts. Those final 2 weeks are going to be very interesting to tune into because it's going to be fire. It's going to be a fire. It's going to be great. It's going to be great. But yeah. I'll throw it out to you, Caleb. Who is your biggest disappointment?
Yeah, man. Following yours, my biggest disappointment is going to be have to be the Rams. I remember –
Not the Ravens.
We talked so much about the Ravens. I looked at the Rams on my computer right now.
I was gonna say, don't you think the Ravens get a pass though because of injuries? Well, here, no. You know what? I'll let you make your case on why it's Baltimore.
They had a lot of injuries, yes, but to me, they had a lot of games they should have won. You know, they didn't do anything. After Lamar went down, you seen that Huntley did help him compete, but fuck, like you could have went to the free agent market. And I think is Ryan Fitzpatrick even on a team?
Well, yeah. He was with Washington, but he got hurt. He was injured.
He got hurt. I mean, I think you could have found somebody out there better.
Huntley did okay. He kept him in the game. I will say you do have a point of. There are 2 games that will stand out in my mind for the Ravens. I think it was week 13 or 14 against the Steelers.
Yes. And week
15 against the Green Bay Packers. When both times they could have tied it and went to overtime, but decided to go for 2 and it failed.
Yes. Like those games before Lamar had even got hurt, they were losing games that they should have been winning. You feel me? Or barely coming out. That's what I'm trying to like say. Like they should have had enough wins to where Huntley only really had to get – I mean, damn, he really only had to get 1 to get in the playoffs, and he had 4 weeks to do it.
Yeah.
So, like, I just don't think they did enough to make sure they got that 1 game. You know what I'm saying? Their defense gave them one of the best games they could have ever gave them. And within that 4 weeks – They just, in my opinion, they didn't do enough. I don't know if it was the coaching staff. They didn't do enough, though. They're my disappointment, though, because when they beat the Chiefs earlier in the season, I was saying that they're a legitimate Super Bowl contender because if they're healthy and they're able to beat the Chiefs now, I mean, wait till the playoffs come. I think they'll be able to beat the playoffs. I'm quoting myself. I said that when they beat the Chiefs earlier in the season, and for them not to make the playoffs now, that's why I'm disappointed.
I think you definitely got a case there with the Ravens, especially even you look at they had some bad close losses, even opening week against the Raiders, losing an overtime right there. That's brutal. And then you get blown out by Cincinnati the first time, 41-16. And then you look at you had a span where you had close losses. You had 2 close losses to the Steelers. You could have kicked the field goal. an extra point to tie the game to force overtime when you have the best kicker in all of football. You didn't decide to do that. You also could have won this Week 18 game against the Steelers. You didn't do that. You lost in overtime. You could have also – they could have beat my Green Bay Packers, Caleb. They were in the position to do so. Yeah. I mean, Tyler Huntley did everything he wanted. He drove them down to potentially tie the game. But I will say, if there's one thing you could take away from the Ravens for this season, John Harbaugh was aggressive and trusted his offense. He trusted his team to go for two, and it just simply didn't work.
Didn't work, yeah.
But you also, on the flip side of things, say that cost them. Because if you look at in one of those games, Caleb, if they decide to kick the extra point, who knows what happens in overtime? Who knows what happens in overtime between the Packers and Ravens?
Yeah.
Because if the Ravens get the ball first, they might have scored and won the game. And then Green Bay would be a 2 seed, maybe a 3 seed, and Baltimore would be in dancing. But because they went for 2 and failed, they're outside of the playoffs. And we even got a comment on YouTube. We have Logan saying his disappointment is the Browns. During the offseason, they stacked their deck, got all 3 Egyptian god cards, and had all three of the Exodia pieces and still went straight to the toilet bowl. And he's right. I mean, they went all in on that defense and they still failed. But they didn't get as low as the Ravens, because the Ravens finished last in the division and the Browns finished 3rd because via tiebreakers.
Yeah, we gotta get this guy on our episode. He has all the jokes for real. We need you on, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we definitely need you on, Logan, in our future episodes. And with that being said, that will conclude our episode. And Caleb, for the people who ever want to be a special guest on our episode, like potentially Logan Forge, where can they find all the great things that you do?
Hey, they can find me on Twitter below at Caleb Conant 2. Find me on Instagram at 1 Caleb Conant. Click the link tree in the bio. Be sure to hit us up. We do not bite. If y'all want to come on, chop it up sports with us, definitely know you can come on here, chop it up sports. We use ColorCast, Twitter, YouTube, and all podcast platforms. So definitely don't be shy if you want to come up here and talk some sports with us. Matt, can't forget to let them know where they find you, my guy. Let them know where they find you.
Yeah, you can definitely find me. My Twitter handle down below. I'm at _Skura. Instagram, I'm at _Skura20. You could also, like Cable and I both mentioned, well, we mentioned our stuff down below. You could just hit us up with our direct messages. Just let us know who you are. And if you want to be a guest on our future episodes, we'll put you in. You know, we love it when people like to, like Caleb mentioned, chop it up and talk sports with us. We love getting the interaction. And, you know, like Marshawn Lynch would say, one with the community. We gotta get the sports community in action.
Come on.
Also in both of those bios, there's a link tree that gives you access to this very podcast, to where you can listen to it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, you name it. It is available everywhere. And check out my ColorCast username at MattSkuraUSN. And for any USN member as well, for ColorCast, just type in USN and you'll be able to find it there. Lastly, some sponsorships that USN has. Shop at teesprings.com/store/unwrapped. Check out our Patreon program, patreon.com/unwraps. We have a $1 tier, $5 tier, and a $10 tier. If you're into gambling, check out mybookie.ag. Use promo code USN100 to double your first deposit. And lastly, if your back is hurting, if you're putting the team on your back like Jalen Hurts did with the Philadelphia Eagles to get you in the playoffs, hit up RX Hemp. Hit up rxhemp.com. Use promo code RXHemp-USN to get 10% off your first order. With that being said, I am Matt Skura. That is my great co-host, Caleb Conant. We are signing off on this fabulous Wednesday, January 12th, 2022.
Deuces.